Insects are all around us. Many live right under our noses and are just waiting to be discovered. In spite of their small size, insects are among the most interesting and adaptable creatures on planet Earth. We have close encounters with them every day, whether we realize it or not. To most people, these creatures are just bugs. But to entomologist Dr. Tim Gibb, they are spineless wonders. And he's here to help you look beyond the bug to the fascinating life of the insect. Dr. Tim will see you now.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Tim here. On three different occasions now, photos of huge camel spiders the size of a man's calf have exploded on the internet, accompanied by alarming stories describing how these attacked and partially consumed a U.S. soldier stationed in Iraq. In each case, the soldier reported to have been completely unaware of his plight until awakened in the morning to find chunks of his flesh missing. Although specific details of the story vary, they are almost always attached to the same photograph, and that of a soldier holding what appears to be two gigantic and very odd-looking spiders. All are reported by a friend or a friend of a friend of one of the actual soldiers involved, and this is their verbatim description. I quote, "This photo will give you a better idea of what our troops are dealing with. Warning, not for the squeamish. These things are huge. They run 25 miles per hour, jump 3 feet, are a nocturnal spider, so only come out at night unless they're in a shade. They're the size of dinner plates, and when they bite you, you're injected with a Novocaine, so you go numb instantly. You don't even know that you're being bitten when you're asleep, so you wake up with part of your leg or arm missing because it has been gnawing on it all night. This is a perfect example of why you don't want to go to the military. These are two of the biggest I've ever seen, with a vertical leap that would make a pro basketball player weep with envy to be able to jump up onto a camel's stomach. They latch on and inject a local anesthesia so you can't feel it. Then they eat your flesh and not just suck out your juices like a normal spider, and they can scream bloody hell when they run." End of quote. This story first went viral on the internet during the Gulf War in the early 1990s. It was recirculated again in 2003 when the United States invaded Iraq and became so prevalent as to elicit a formal disclaimer from the U.S. Department of Defense, as well as one from the National Geographic News entitled "Camel Spiders Behind an Email Sensation from Iraq," June 29, 2004. Despite the story being debunked, various derivations are popping up even today in 2020. Origins of the story, for example, which friend of which soldier's friend this actually happened to, has never been determined. Its location, apparently they now actually in Afghanistan as well as Iraq, and a few of the juicier spider facts have evolved, yet the general storyline and moral remains, and that is that large camel spiders purposely or inadvertently attack unlucky U.S. soldiers stationed in the Mideast. Snopes.com is a self-certified internet fact-checking resource that claims, "When misinformation obscures the truth and readers don't know what to trust, Snopes.com's fact-checking and original investigative reporting lights the way to evidence-based and contextualized analysis." In other words, people with doubts about the veracity of an internet story may go to Snopes.com to sort out what is true and what is myth or rumor. In the case of the camel spider story above, Snopes.com declares that the claims are all false. They say, The creatures shown in the photograph appear to be real camel spiders, but their closeness to the camera creates an illusion of exaggerated size and thus are misleading. The story itself contains elements of truth, but with enough non-truths for the story to be classified as a hoax. Camel spiders are so named because, like camels, they can be found in sandy desert regions. Although they aren't technically spiders, they grow to be moderately large, that being about a 5 to 6 inch leg span, but nowhere near as large as a dinner plate. They can move very quickly in comparison to other arthropods. They have a top speed of maybe 10 miles per hour, but nothing close to 25 miles per hour. And they make no noise. And they capture prey without the use of either venom or anesthetic. Camel spiders rely on speed, stealth, and the non-venomous bite of powerful jaws to feed on small prey, including scorpions, crickets, pill bugs, and maybe occasionally on lizards, mice, or birds. Why does the story persist, even though the facts have been disproven time after time by the scientists, the government, the military, and by other independent authorities such as National Geographic and Snopes.com? To answer that question, I depart from science and enter into a much more subjective area that I actually know nothing about. But it is very interesting. It's called urban legends. According to those who study such things, urban legends are a genre of folklore comprising stories widely circulated as true, having happened to a rarely traceable friend or family member, and often contains outlandish, horrifying, or humorous elements. Legends often concern mysterious, perilous, or troubling events and include a moralistic confirmation of prejudices or offers to make sense of societal anxieties. So according to my rudimentary research on this topic, it appears that to be considered an urban legend, a story must meet the following 5 criteria. Number 1, must be popular or entertaining and worthy of repetition. Number 2, it must be frequently forwarded or passed on in some manner. Number 3, it must have at least some element of truth, even though that truth may be simply alleged by implication of another person. For example, this actually happened to a friend of a friend, but is rarely verifiable to a particular person, place, or event. Number 4, it must contain outlandish facts. And number 5, it must carry an implied moral message or story. According to David Emery, a senior writer at Snopes.com, an urban legend's truth or non-truth doesn't affect its eligibility as an urban legend. Urban legends aren't defined as false stories. They're merely defined as stories alleged to be true in the absence of actual knowledge or evidence. So, as long as a story continues to be passed off as factual by folks who don't really know the facts, it qualifies. Why they're called urban legends is difficult, if not impossible, to defend. They may more accurately be considered contemporary legends because the stories don't always affiliate with a town or a city, but they're all relatively current or contemporary. And legends differ from myths. Myths are untruths stated as fact. And I'm the first to rectify the slightest myth about insects, and there are many. For example, butterflies and moths can't fly if you rub the scales off their wings. Or chiggers burrow under your skin and suck blood. Or ultrasonic devices keep pests out. Or ticks must be removed by rotating them clockwise. Or daddy long legs are deadly, but their jaws are too small to bite. So when it comes to legends, I find myself a bit less rigid. Hey, I love a good story, even if it has some factual problems. For example, It's obvious that many of the facts about camel spiders are blatantly untrue, and the photograph that accompanies the legend has been doctored. But the moral of the story is true, interesting, and relative to our society today. And that is, there are consequences of sending our young men and women as soldiers to fight in foreign countries. Consequences that remain unknown and mysterious, and that go beyond the battlefield. So while myths are a menace to our society and should be rooted out, an urban legend about a bigger-than-life camel cricket that speaks to a current societal concern is different. Much like the story of Little Red Riding Hood, though the facts of the story may not add up, it's still a moral about avoiding others' evil and deceptions justifies its existence. Why are people so willing to believe in urban legends? Wikipedia authors suggest that human beings are simply storytellers and story believers by nature. Perhaps we are hardwired in some way to be susceptible to well-told, though fanciful, stories if they depict our own life experiences, concerns, and fears. Humans have a tendency to interpret life in narrative terms, in a story-like fashion. We're charmed by them for the same reasons we're charmed by Hollywood movies and fairy tales. Urban legends often depict horrific crimes, scams, contaminated foods, or other situations that could potentially affect us. Listeners of such stories might feel compelled to warn others. And that's why one of the characteristics of an urban legend is that it's widely and persistently recirculated, often orally, but more commonly spread by media, including newspapers, email, or other social media. Urban legends have life because of forwarded text messages or reposts on social media platforms. Persistent urban legends must not only maintain a degree of plausibility, but they must be based on a societal issue, such as a distrust of police officers, the occult, medical professionals, scientists, foreigners, religion, and the government, or others in authority. What will protect us from falling for urban legends? Interestingly, one protection is the internet itself. Finding statements from others who know, such as Snopes.com and others, can help demystify the legend. And according to a friend of a guy I know, there is the ever-watchful Spineless Wonders column that instantly jumps upon, seizes, and chokes the life out of the slightest errant insect fact that any urban legend as much as attempts to promulgate. So, rest easy. Know that if not 100% true, these will be sniffed out and snuffed out by Dr. Tim. At least that's what somebody's friend said on the internet. This has been Dr. Tim with another Spineless Curiosity. Be sure to turn in next month for another Spineless Wonder. We'll be right back.